Welcome to Cinema Chop Shop. Watch, chop, retrofit.
All right, Chop Shoppers, welcome to our becoming an annual tradition, our end of the year top movies of the year minisode. So it is 2019 for at least another day or so, and so we're going to be talking about our top 19 films of 2019. I guess I should say that my name is Travis and I'm your host. I'm joined as always here in the shop by my co-host and co-producer, Sean the Brew Boss, and we are joined for color commentary today by Chelsea and her son.
Daniel,
who is not real.
He isn't.
Daniel is not real.
So we're just going to kind of go back and forth and talk about the movies that we liked the most. And this isn't a comprehensive list. There are some movies out there that we haven't gotten around to seeing, but of the ones we have seen, this is the list.
And these are in no particular order.
No particular order. All right, you want to go first?
Yeah, I wanted to start out talking about a Fringe movie that squeaked into my list under the wire, and that is The Dirt.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Netflix, based on the Motley Crue story?
Exactly.
Cool.
I found this movie to be a refreshing film out of nowhere, and the introduction, for me, of Machine Gun Kelly as an actor.
Uh-huh.
I found that the movie was great, and it reminded me a lot of those good times as a redneck kid growing up
yeah.
in middle school and junior high listening to Motley Crue.
All right. Yeah, I liked that one too. It did not make my list.
This is the one where the Ozzy Osbourne character like snorted ants, right?
I believe yes. so, yes.
Okay, okay.
All right. Well, my first check-in for today is going to be Little Monsters. This was a dark comedy, a zom-com, if you will, directed by Abe Forsyth and starring Lupita Nyong'o as a children's school teacher who takes them on a trip to a farm, a field trip to a farm, and there they encounter a zombie outbreak. It was delightful. Her energy in the movie is contagious, just like the zombie virus is contagious. And yeah, that's my...
I still haven't seen this
check-in for Little Monsters. It's good. She's actually in two of my movies.
Oh,
Lupita
yeah.
Nyong'o is.
She's in one of mine, too.
Okay.
I'm going to mention, and this one kind of jumped on my radar thanks to IndieWire's, their top 20 of 2019, and that is Long Day's Journey Into Night. This was the Asian film. It was actually released in Asia in like 2018, I believe, maybe even 2017, but it didn't get international release until this year. And it is the one with the 58-minute 3D tracking shot.
Okay, gotcha. Nice.
And it's just a neat, cool flick, and you just have to check yourself every once in a while through that tracking shot to remind yourself that
they still haven't cut.
All the orchestration is pretty insane.
Next, I've got a movie that we have just gushed about here on the show, and it is the resurgence of Shia LaBeouf in The Peanut Butter Falcon.
So good.
Such a great movie.
So good.
Tells the story of a man with Down syndrome who has been, for lack of a better place to put him, he's been kind of housed in an old folks home for the past couple years, where he's roommates with Bruce Dern, and decides to make a break for it, where he encounters Shia LaBeouf's character, who is a crab fisherman who is being pursued for stealing crab pots. And they also are joined by his social worker, played by Dakota Johnson. For me, she was the least satisfying part of the movie,
yes.
but didn't detract from it that much.
It's in my top five.
Okay.
These are unranked, but in terms of my favorites for the year, I think this is a highly underrated film, and it kind of bugs me that this one is getting less talk than what's the name of his other flick that's out?
Honey Boy.
Honey Boy.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't know he was in that. I thought that was about his childhood.
No, he plays his father's role.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right, next I've got directed by female director Booksmart, directed by Olivia Wilde, and starring Caitlin Dever and Beanie Feldstein.
Yep, this is on my list too.
Very so funny cute. Movie.
Derivative of Superbad?
A little bit. It's a like a bit. Like a modernized, female-driven version.
But I really, really liked this, and I felt they were really clever. The characters were real true to the type of young, impressionable, naive girls that they were playing.
Well, I feel like this movie was what Lady Bird tried to be and fell on its
face. Oh, okay.
Interesting. Yeah. You didn't like Lady Bird?
I did not.
Okay. Well, you are entitled to that opinion. What's your next one, Sean?
I'm going to go with Ready or Not.
Okay. Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
Yes.
Samara Weaving is so good. I enjoy almost everything I've seen her in. The storyline was a little predictable, but I did enjoy just the roller coaster ride.
And so we've got a premise where it is the wedding night of Samara Weaving's character and her new husband, who's in a upper crust family, kind of.
They're like the inheritors of the Parker brothers' fortune, almost.
Something like that, yeah. And this made my list as well. I liked this one quite a bit also. All right, next I've got a movie that would make a good double feature with Booksmart, and that is Good Boys. It is a little bit younger age, coming of age story, but we've got three young boys played by Jacob Tremblay, a newcomer named Brady Noon, and then Keith L. Williams is the third boy. And it's just kind of, like I said, they're coming of age, they're negotiating the world that they are very naive of.
Yeah.
And it was hilarious.
That's one of my honorable mentions.
Okay.
I liked it. My only real gripe about it is that the movie trailer kind of gave away all of the good stuff. All right, my next film I'm going to bring up is Greener Grass.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Also on my list.
So good.
An absurdist comedy that kind of focuses on one-upsmanship, keeping up with the Joneses, consumerism, and
suburbanism.
Suburbia nightmare as themes. And it is just a bizarre, strange film, and that's the best part of it.
Mm-hmm. I just want to know what the braces symbolize.
What was up with those braces? This was directed and starring a comedy duo named Jocelyn DeBoer and Don Lube, Lubebe. It might be Lube.
Can I have your baby?
Yes. Yeah. Just so weird. Suburban soccer moms find themselves constantly competing against each other in their personal lives as their kids settle their differences on the field. Okay, next I've got the sophomore effort from Jordan Peele, which is Us, also starring Lupita Nyong'o. It's the story of a family that finds out that there's something sinister going on with a group of people that are watching them, following them, kind of want to take over their lives. What did you think about Us?
It is stylistically super cool.
Uh-huh.
Mood, atmosphere, perfect. My only drawback, and this is on my list, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But my only drawback is the actual premise of why these others are pursuing is kind of far-fetched.
A little shaky.
Doesn't really hold a lot of water, but it's a film. Suspend your disbelief and enjoy the ride. And that's what this film's all about. It's cool.
I think that it would have been more well-received had Jordan Peele not released Get Out previously. If this was his first film,
it would have been amazing.
It would have blown people away. But since Get Out was so good, it fell a little bit short on that. But that happens.
Well, then I'm going to jump on to another film that is of that same regard. That's Ari Aster's sophomore effort, Midsommar.
Okay.
And if it had been released on its own, I think it would have gotten better talk than what it did. It's one of my top 10. I know it's probably not in your top 10.
It's on my list.
It's on your list. Mm-hmm. And the reason for, Midsommar, I guess I should back up. The premise is you've got a group of college kids, graduate students. One of their classmates is going to Sweden for the summer festival, and his friends come along. And one of the friends, his girlfriend, they're having troubles. She kind of tags along, even though they don't really want her to.
Right.
And things get really, really weird.
Yes, they do.
And this Midsummer Festival has some strange, strange stuff, and things go horribly wrong for several of the guys on the trip.
There's a lot of that existential dread that
Very
you find
so.
In
Hereditary.
Hereditary as well.
The reason it ranks so highly on my list is to this day I still find myself thinking about the film.
Yeah.
And trying to put my finger on what it is about it. It's this feel of authenticity about the festival itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's taken from a lot of different parts of research that Ari did about these types of things around the world.
Yeah.
So it feels real.
I remember when the trailer first came out, or when we first heard about this movie, you said, why not Bonnaroo?
Yeah.
Which would be a nightmare. Okay, next I've got a movie that was on my list for a long time, and I finally got to see it, and it's called Yesterday. And it's about a man who wakes up one day, and he's the only one on Earth who has any knowledge of the Beatles. That he knows of, he's the only one. So he is a musician, and he uses that knowledge to his advantage.
I love this film. I thought it was really fun, kind of one of those breath of fresh air type movies. It jumped in and presented itself in a way that a lot of movies weren't. And I don't think it took itself too seriously, which was another reason I liked it so much.
And the main actor is named Himesh Patel, and I think we're going to see some big things from him. We've also got Lily James in there and Ed Sheeran playing a version of himself.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. Ed this Sheeran's... is one I haven't seen.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah, okay. It's kind of meta. Ed Sheeran playing himself.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, I'm going to throw in, because I'm starting to close in on my top 10. This was an outlier, but just barely, and I just saw it, Uncut Gems.
Mm-hmm.
And you've checked it in on the show just yep. recently, and this is Adam Sandler's Phoenix from the Ashes performance as a jeweler with a gambling problem, with a debt problem, and he engineers the deal of the century in getting this opal in its rare, raw, uncut form, and is trying to parlay it into a fortune to pay off his debts and make a new life for himself and his mistress.
Yes.
Who, by the way, has only 3 IMDb credits to her name.
Oh, really?
A movie short, a video short, rather, this film, and something in pre-production.
Hmm. So she's very much a newcomer.
She is fresh, new, and really quite good.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, I liked the movie, too. It didn't quite make my list, but I do see potential awards for Sandler, because it's his performance is very intense.
Huh, I'm intrigued.
All right, next I've got the anti-hero superhero movie that begs the question, what if Superman were real but evil? And it's called Brightburn.
I still want to see this.
It was really good. It's not exactly what I expected. We do have Jackson Dunn is the main character, the boy with the special powers. And then his parents are played by Elizabeth Banks and David Denman, who was on the American Office. Version of The Office. I can't remember his character's name, but
she was Pam's fiancé. He was Pam's fiancé.
Yes.
This did not make my list. It was a consideration for me
because
I know it is not a perfect film. It's not extremely well done, but in terms of really hitting that sweet spot for me of the anti-hero and another lens to the Superman origin story.
Yes.
Just really, why would Superman have any sympathy for us as a race that's bent on destroying ourselves? So I liked it too. Well, speaking of anti-heroes, I'm going to jump in and say Joker.
Okay, yeah. Joker on my list, as well.
Although I consider it to be rather derivative or paying homage to the King of Comedy, yep. as well as Taxi Driver.
Yep.
It's still a great movie, and it kind of busts the superhero rut
yes.
that we seem to be mired in, and shows you what can happen when you take a superhero construct or a supervillain construct and really treat it like a story about a real human being. And it's bleak as all get out.
Yeah. I was surprised that I didn't see more Brightburn Halloween costumes this year. I looked online and those masks, because it was supposed to be like a homemade mask, very hard to find. All right, I've got Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the newest film from Quentin Tarantino, a love letter to Hollywood and cinema, and acting in general. Did you see this one, Sean?
I did, and it's on my list, just right outside my top 10. And Chelsea's ready to say something.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, so my cousin came to visit from South Dakota not too long ago, and we were looking through pictures. And I don't like have a relationship with my father. I didn't really know him, but there's a bunch of his old photos in there. And she goes, "That's the time that your dad was with Charles Manson." And I look at this photo and I'm like, "Oh my God, that's my dad and Charles Manson
in the same photograph together."
Yes.
Wow. And that's kind of
terrified.
Yeah, I can imagine. And that's the kind of subplot of the movie. Besides the movie production that's going on, we are also introduced to Sharon Tate and some members of the Manson family as well.
Definitely a long film.
Yes.
It's quite a haul, and probably in my review, I found it to be a little self-indulgent.
Oh, yeah.
However, it was so well done. Mm-hmm. You have the big Quentin Tarantino payoff at the end of the film.
It was worth it.
And then you've got the post-credits fake apple cigarette commercials that he was doing. And so, yeah, it's a great film. I like it a lot. And I wouldn't mind seeing it again in the comfort of my own home.
Right, when you can pause and do stuff like that. All right, what's your next one?
I'm going to go with Knives Out.
Okay.
Knives Out
also on my list. We've got a lot of overlap.
Yeah, we've got a lot. Knives Out was a lot of fun. Just watched it recently. And a well-crafted whodunit from
Ryan Johnson,
written and directed by Ryan Johnson. And it made me think, man, they really shit the bed by taking Star Wars away from him.
Yeah.
You'll notice that Star Wars is not on my list.
Mine either. And this is the first time, I think I said this before, since we've been doing this, that a Star Wars movie came out and didn't make my top whatever list. So that says a lot about The Rise of Skywalker.
I guess we should back it up. Knives Out, of course, is the story of a mystery author and his entitled family, and they want his inheritance. He dies in the film, and it's ruled...
In the first act.
In the first act, it's ruled a suicide, and things start to unfold from there. And it stars, I don't know the actress's name that plays the caretaker.
Oh, Marta. Ana de Armas.
Thank you. Yeah. And she's fantastic.
She's
in this
so
film.
Beautiful.
Oh, man. Oh, yes.
If you'd like to see more of her, she's in Knock Knock with Lorenza Izzo and Keanu Reeves.
The Chelsea, only thing that I had a problem with Knives Out was Daniel Craig.
His southern accent?
Oh, it was so bad. Drove me nuts.
It was a little bit distracting.
It was like he was doing a Frank Underwood impression.
A little bit.
Yes.
And I kept expecting him to kind of step out from behind the curtain as a red herring type character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he wasn't.
No.
And so I'm with you there. Ultimately,
it took me out of it a lot.
Lakeith Stanfield's character was really good.
Oh, yeah. And he was great in Uncut Gems.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next one for me is Midsommar. And you already spoke pretty much about that. The main actress, is that Florence Pugh?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Florence Pugh, who's doing some really big things lately.
Well, she's in Little Women.
Uh-huh. Just kind of disturbing movie. from the jump, I'll say.
Well, next. I'm gonna pair that with another A24.
Okay.
And that's going to be The Lighthouse. This is Robert Eggers' sophomore
Did not
effort.
Make my list.
Didn't make your list. Made my list just because, again, using that same metric of Midsommar, I still think about it.
Yeah.
There are some visuals that are pretty disturbing, and there's some really, really cool dialogue, action, and just connection between two actors at a confined space in Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson.
I haven't seen the last little bit of this movie, but when I did attempt to watch it, I was actually sick. I actually had a fever.
Yeah,
so it was even really more of a fever dream. Yes, it really fucked with me.
What have I got next? I've got Joker next on my list. Joaquin Phoenix's portrayal of this character that so many people have played in so many very different ways, pretty unhinged version of that character's origin story. Directed by Todd Phillips, starring Joaquin Phoenix, Robert De Niro, and Zazie Beetz. All right, your next one?
Next up for me, Jojo Rabbit.
So you finally got to see it.
Finally got to see it, and Loved it.
It's really good, right?
It's so good, and it's I've seen the comments, and I agree in the best possible complimentary way. It's Inglourious Moonrise Kingdom.
Okay. I mean, I can see that.
It has the Moonrise Kingdom vibe to it. Uh-huh. The quaint design sensibility of a mm-hmm. Wes Anderson type movie, but it also has that Taika Waititi just outrageousness. And it's a touching story, though, when you peel back all those layers and get past all of that. It's a story of a young boy who's indoctrinated in the Hitler Youth,
uh-huh.
and his mother, who is not what she seems. And he kind of has a journey of his own in discovering that the Jews are not what they seem, or what they were presented to him to be. And I'm not spoiling anything beyond that.
Okay. Well, no, I won't either. I will say that Taika Waititi plays a version of Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, it's his. It's the boy's
imaginary friend.
Imaginary and idolized version of Hitler.
All right, well, my next one is going to be, I bet this one didn't make your list. It's called Three from Hell, the newest Rob Zombie movie.
I thought about that, but no, it's not on my list.
Was the send-off for Sid Haig. I think that of these movies, the Firefly trilogy, that this was the best one. And
I agree.
Good conclusion to that. So it's a story of Baby Firefly, Otis Driftwood, and Captain Spaulding, but as Sid Haig passed away this year, he's not in the movie a lot. They had to kind of rearrange some things to say goodbye to him.
Yep, it made me sad to watch the very little bit that he was mm-hmm. in the film. Next up for me is Marriage Story.
Okay.
This is a Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver relationship and failed relationship flick.
I'm about halfway through this one.
Okay. It's good. I think that Adam Driver is outstanding in this movie.
Okay.
And
he's had
a fantastic year. But I was discussing this movie with someone else, and I can't even remember who it was, and we were talking about him singing the song from the musical Company at the end, and just what a great bow on the whole movie it was. Fantastic movie. I really like this one a lot.
Okay. My next one is going to be one that you have mentioned. It's Knives Out. We talked about that. Ensemble cast, the murder mystery. It's somewhere in the vein of like a Clue, or what is the other one that has the great big cast and it's a murder mystery in a mansion.
Murder by Death.
Murder by Death, yes.
That, and it also, and they even show a clip from Murder, She Wrote in the show.
Yeah.
So there was a nod to that as well, because that's definitely where they got a lot of their magic from. My next pick is straight off the presses for me, Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
Okay. Now, I have not seen this all the way through. I'm partway through the film. But give us an idea of the premise.
It takes a little while to get really hooked into it, but it is a French film about Victorian era, yes. I guess you would say, of an artist who is hired to paint this woman's daughter,
okay,
who is of marrying age, and the daughter has refused to sit for portraits over and over again, and this girl, she befriends her, and while she's not with her, she's painting her from memory.
Well, that's what she was hired for. The mom was like, I don't want her to know.
Don't want her to know you're doing this portrait. And in the process of the film, the two become extremely close,
mm-hmm.
and she finishes one portrait, destroys it, and starts another. And it is a beautiful, beautiful love story. But also, if you are an artist,
mm-hmm.
it is so authentic and real. You feel the artwork flowing through the actress. And every single composition in the film could easily be a painting or a still life unto itself.
Okay.
I can't say enough good things about this.
I'm going to have to finish that.
This film was not nominated by France or submitted for the Best International Feature Film category in the Oscars. Instead, they put out Les Miserables.
Okay.
And I've seen and I've seen other critics say that Les Misérables is really good. I cannot yeah. fathom that Les Misérables is better than this movie.
Mm-mm. I hadn't even heard there was a new version of Les Misérables out.
Well, it's French, but...
Yeah. All right, this next one for me is the only documentary that made my list this year, and it is QT8, a documentary about the first 8 films from Quentin Tarantino. And it's straightforward. Point A to point B, if you're a fan of Quentin, you'll be a fan of this documentary. If not, you probably won't be. There's no prolonged feet scenes, though. Just so you know.
All right, we're closing in. I've got 2 more picks left. I don't know about you.
I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Wow. Well, then, why don't you go again then?
Yeah. All right, I'll go again. My next one is called it's called A Rainy Day in New York. This is a movie from Woody Allen, so you have to kind of put your opinions about him as a person aside. And it did not get a release in the United States. It's only released overseas. And it is basically, it seems as though the main character is playing Woody Allen himself at different points in his life and in different points in his career. Stars Timothée Chalamet and Elle Fanning and Selena Gomez and Jude Law. I was surprised by this one. I didn't expect to like it as much as I did, but I ended up liking it quite a bit. Timothée Chalamet, of course, he's a rising star, has proven himself to be a very good actress, but he embodies the idiosyncrasies of Woody Allen really well in this. Okay, next one. This is just for you, Chelsea. It's called Daniel Isn't Real.
Yes.
And this is a movie I watched with the Googe while he was down here, and we were both pretty impressed with it. But it's about a man who resurrects a imaginary friend / accomplice from his childhood who is definitely not setting him up for success. He's a bad friend. There was certain scenes that were extremely psychedelic. There was also scenes that reminded me a lot of American Psycho with Christian Bale.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of that.
Okay.
I called it Drop Dead Fred meets Tyler Durden.
Yeah, very similar. And it stars Miles Robbins, who is Tim Robbins and Susan Sarandon's son, as well as Patrick Schwarzenegger, who is Maria Shriver's son.
He has great 90s hair.
Yeah, very much.
I was not impressed with the result of the film.
Okay.
No.
The film had me on board through Acts 1 and 2. Act 3, I kind of lost interest. But it did make my honorable mention list.
Good deal. What's next for you?
Parasite.
Okay, I haven't seen this. Tell me about it.
Parasite is a Korean film, and it is about a family who is living on the edge, living hand to mouth. They live in a basement apartment that is always flooding, and they just can't seem to get one leg up in society. So they con their way into the lives of this wealthy family's home. First, one being a tutor for their oldest daughter after school. The other being a caretaker. The other being a cook. The other being a chauffeur. And it's ingeniously constructed in how they go about supplanting themselves within this family as the staff. And then things take a bad turn, mm-hmm. a comedically bad turn. This is on a lot of people's top list, number one of the year. I liked it a lot. And after I reread a lot of other people's points of view and reviews on it, I was reminded of a lot of the things that I did like about this movie. And it's inventive and creative. And that's kind of rare these days.
Okay. Well, speaking of things taking a turn for the worse and going very badly, my next one is going to be called Villains, plural. Just watched this a week or so ago. Stars Bill Skarsgård and Micah Monroe. Bill Skarsgård, of course, is the Pennywise in both of the It films, and Micah Monroe was in It Follows. Also, Kira Sedgwick is in there.
Oh, boy,
and
she's creepy as hell.
An actor named Jeffrey Donovan, a.k.a. Wicked Pissa JD on Twitter.
He's that dude from Burn Notice on
is he?
USA Network. Yeah.
Okay. So two bad people are about to meet two worse people. When their car breaks down, a couple on the run headed southbound for a fresh start in the Sunshine State break into a nearby house looking for a new set of wheels, and instead they find its dark secret. And I won't spoil what that dark secret is.
Yeah, this didn't make my list, but I did enjoy it. It was one of my other honorable mention fringe films. It was fun. I thought that Skarsgård was practically Pete Davidson.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
It was good though. Sedgwick really impressed me with her part.
Mm-hmm.
She was that June Cleaver from Hell.
Yes. This isn't spoiling too much, but the scene where she is trying to seduce Bill Skarsgård was one of the creepier parts.
Yeah, that's what I'm referring to.
Okay.
I thought it was really, really great. All right, how many do you have left?
I have three left, but they're all ones that you've already mentioned.
Then go for it.
Okay, so next I've got Greener Grass. Mm-hmm. We should mention that Beck Bennett is in there, shows up as a
favorite of the show for recasts. Uh-huh.
Then we've also got Ready or Not, which I really liked. I think that Ready or Not would make a decent double feature with Knives Out.
I agree.
Yeah.
And then finally, Jojo Rabbit.
Jojo?
Jojo Rabbit made my top 19 list as well. The kid in Jojo Rabbit was really convincing. And they say that he's going to be in the new Home Alone reboot.
Right.
Which is, I guess, a silver lining for that situation.
True, true. My last pick, then, the one that you haven't mentioned, and you might not have seen it yet, I think you might have started watching it, One Cut of the Dead.
I have not seen it. I did see the cover, and the guy on the poster looks like Marco.
He does, he does. I love this film. It is truly creative, truly inventive, and when you watch 400 films a year, it's rare
to stand out in that crowd.
It's rare that something stands out and makes you say, wow, they did something I've never seen done before. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, it is top on my list for 2019.
There we go. And so that is the extent of my list. Like I said, no particular order on that. If I had to pick a favorite out of all these, it would be the Peanut Butter Falcon.
It's great.
Oh, yeah.
It is so sweet. And if you have not seen it, seek it out. If you want a film that you can watch with your parents?
Yeah, with anybody, really.
Yeah.
Watch it. It's a great, great feel-good film, and I can't say enough good things about it. And I'm disappointed it's not on other top lists for the year. I think a lot of people are overlooking and sleeping on this movie.
I agree.
Well, unlike last year, there's no movies featuring puppet sex in my top 19.
You know, there's some great honorable mentions. I've got a few that you've mentioned. Velvet Buzzsaw is one that didn't make the list.
Oh, yeah. That was so good.
It was good, but it was strange.
It was fun.
I kind of suffered from superhero burnout. All the superhero films are kind of on the outliers for me. You know, John Wick 3, that's a sequel. Zombieland 2, that's a sequel. I can't put those guys in the tops, you know, for whatever reason.
At the Star Wars at the theater, there was like 30 minutes of trailers before the movie. Literally 30 minutes of trailers before the movie. And I think 5 to 7 of them were either remakes or sequels.
For me, actually Chelsea went with us to go see it. It was all CGI.
It was all Disney.
And
they were all animated.
And the voice work was done by Holland.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Tom Holland.
Oh, okay.
He was like in three trailers in a row.
Yeah, back to back to back.
That's
even
weird.
Like people around us were like, oh, he's a busy guy.
So it's like, you know, for us, I mean, we watch so many movies. It's like to see that is like, that's just like tired and uninspired filmmaking.
Yeah.
So a lot of my picks, even though they might not make a lot of other people's top list, it's with that kind of lens, I want things that are fresh and kind of interesting. And, you know, that's me.
And what were the beers that we checked in
tonight? Oh, yeah. There's still some of this you haven't checked in.
Okay.
This is all that Wild Leap from LaGrange, Georgia. This one's called ETA, Transcontinental IPA.
Interesting.
I'm going to pass that around to Travisito. The first one is also from Wild Leap, and that was called Chance IPA. And This is a rotating series where they play around with some of the hops.
I think that's going to about wrap us up on this mini-sode. When do you think this will come out?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. So this will be dropping on New Year's Eve, appropriately. Anything that you want to plug?
No, not in time for anyone to act on the plugs. Okay. Right Answers with Ron Travis is coming back in about a week's time, yep. give or take. We'll have a fresh sneak preview trivia question on Indeed. This week's episode.
Chelsea, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me,
and thank you for bringing you Daniel, your son, who isn't real. Anything you'd like to plug this week?
No.
All right. Well, we are Cinema Chop Shop. You can find us on iTunes or whatever other podcatcher app that it is you use. We're on Twitter. We are at Cinema Chop Shop. We're on Facebook. We're Cinema Chop Shop on there. We will check in the beers on Untappd whenever I get around to it. And always remember to watch, chop, retrofit.
And watch your retrofit.